Welcome to episode number 327 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk about the concept of obedience and how what we really want our kids to grow up and learn are these words right here. I will not obey. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is September the 8th, 2014. The topic for today is going to be, I will not obey. Most of you guys have heard off and on a little bit of my perspectives about the idea that we should never teach our kids to be obedient, but we've done one show over it, and I highly recommend after you listen to this one, if you're fired up about the concept of obedience, that you jump over and listen to that other show as well. But I want to talk to you guys today about the ideas of obedience and how it is one of the worst things that we can do is to set our kids up to obey us. We do not want our kids to obey us. Before we get into that, let's get some quick housekeeping out of the way. If you guys want to get notified of any new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast, jump over to thefamilypodcast.com, right-hand side, name and email address. Sign up for that bad boy to make sure you don't ever miss out on that one episode. If you just could have heard it, it might have changed everything. I mean, guys, we get those emails. I wish I would have heard this last week. I wish I could have heard this a month ago. Make sure that never happens to you and sign up for that over on the Family Podcast. Guys, also don't forget to like us over on Facebook. If you need to get there, you can go to thefamilypodcast.com, upper left-hand corner, click on that little Facebook icon. It'll jump you over to the Family Podcast Network site on there. You can also search for us on Facebook. Come and join us. We have some good conversations. We share a lot of good memes and pictures, and we discuss those. They get really good. Also, guys, if you want to support the episode, 30 cents per episode. That's right. If you feel like you're getting three dimes out of this, and you're like, man, I really feel like we should, you know, shoot something Trey's way for everything that he does. This is not to make you feel bad or feel guilty, guys. We love doing what we do here, but I know there's some of you guys out there that like to support the show. Go to thefamilypodcast.com, click on Become a Member. A lot of different ways you can do that, guys. It ain't expensive. You can do it at $5 a month. You're asking yourself, how can you do that and make this work? We have cheap overhead here. We built it that way so that way we didn't have to charge much for what we do. Guys, podcasts will always be free. I've made that decision in my mind because I trust that you guys that are listening to these shows regularly are going to be willing to step up and say, listen, we're willing to support Trey and what he's doing because we love what he's doing. He's kicking out high-quality stuff. Consider becoming a member. Last, speaking of, if you guys have questions or comments, thoughts that you want to hear, I really do want those from you. You see, that helps us both ways. Number one, you have a question or a topic that you want, shoot it my way. You can just say, Trey, listen, keep this anonymous. That's no problem. What that does for me is that allows me to build one more show around the stuff that you guys care about. So consider jumping over to The Family Podcast, sending us those questions through the Contact Us page. You can also email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You can also connect with us through several of the online versions. You can click on the Contact Us page. It'll take you over to our Japcam page, and you can record a vocal there, or also on the right-hand side, you'll see a little green button for some browsers that says, ask Trey and Jeff a question. Click on that. You will not go to a direct line to us or anything like that. Think your question out. Give us a call. Leave your question. We'd love to answer it. All right. With all of the housekeeping out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today, which is, I will not obey. This actually started, one of my favorite guys who's out there is actually a guy named Teacher Tom, and I find his material to be fantastic. I've never seen another guy who is actively blogging that makes me go, wow, man, this guy's got it. So I'm going to recommend that you guys go check out his stuff. It's teachertomsblog.blogspot.com. And anyway, on August 25th, he wrote an article called Obedience is Not the Goal. And I think that he knocked it out of the park with this one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and read some of the most important pieces of this. And I want to actually kind of feature a song that he wrote in here. And then we're going to talk about this stuff. So let's go ahead and jump into his stuff here. What I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and play this the way Utah, it's going to be a song by Utah Phillips, and it's called a song called "I Will Not Obey," and I'm going to play this for you guys at the start here, and I want to play it, and I think some of you guys are going to be a little confused because we are brought up in a world not like what he's talking about here, but I want to go through some of the principles in Teacher Tom's article that he wrote here, and then kind of go through some of the premise of this song, and then I'm going to play it for you guys one more time at the end. Hopefully with a new, fresh perspective on it. So, anyway, well, let's go ahead and jump into this song by Utah Phillips.
The new ruling party is holding the aces. The rest of the cards are all missing faces. I'm sorry I can't know you today. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us your sons and give us your daughters. No one is safe or immune from the slaughter. How indifference makes them rage. What can one say? I will not obey. National Guard or freedom fighters, all houses belong to cigarette lighters. But who hides in the smoke? What can one say? I will not obey. Better perhaps to perish outside of the bunkers where our generals hide. I turn away and spit. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us the minds of your children to learn the substance of books we have not yet burned. But can they read the sky for rain? What can one say? I will not obey. Soon all tyrants will feel our impatience. We choose to create our own combinations. I was always willing to agree. What can one say? I will not obey. The essence of contract is agreement, not coercion or obedience, and agreement is sacred. What can one say? I will not obey. There are so few wars of people's liberation, for the people have so seldom risen. Only the armed faction, listen, the armed faction lies. They recreate the state through their action. When the people rise, it is not they, but the state which dies. I sing this song for the prisoners' release, most of all now for the new state police. You see, the guns have changed hands. Again, what can one say? I will not obey.
Now, some of you guys may be like, Trey, can we really call that a song? And the answer is yes. The way Utah Williams began to write was some of it was very allegorical, almost a story when he wrote it. And this is no different. And it was not apparently it's not uncommon. I'm just now starting to read some of it or listen to some of his songs, but and some of his works and whatnot. But it wasn't uncommon for him to kind of switch in and out between almost a monolithic story. A monologuing story and flip it into the actual singing of it. And so that's not very uncommon for him, but, he brought up some points here. Before we go into, kind of listening to that song or, kind of dissecting that song, I want to jump into what Teacher Tom said. He said he's been thinking a lot about obedience lately. He put a quote on here by Darren Quinlan. Disobedience is not an issue if obedience is not the goal. He said it got him to thinking again, is there ever a time when obedience should be the goal? So knee-jerk is our concept of the obedient child, I think it's difficult to imagine that the answer is never, never is there a time when obedience should be the goal. Is there ever a time in your life as adults that you're obedient? We might quibble over certain kind of circumstances. Guys, I'm kind of traphrasing this. This is his words, but I'm breaking this down and cutting out what we don't need to go over today. So there might be certain situations. What if you're in a concentration camp and they'll kill your child if you don't obey? Although, this is Teacher Tom, although I might put that is more the category of being forced. And I will stipulate to all the necessity for military obedience. However, since we have an all-volunteer military, I put that more in the category of an agreement. Yes, I usually do what the police officer says, but it's not from obedience, but rather from an understanding that we've hired him to do the job of keeping us safe, and I trust he is acting in that capacity. But I will not obey if what he is asking me to do is illegal or immoral. No, the option of disobedience and choosing instead to take the consequences is necessary if we are going to give up the promise of self-governance. And I suspect that if any of us found ourselves in this circumstance, in which we were simply expected to obey without question, we would, to use the medical term, freak out. So if we don't want or even expect obedient adults, why do we go out of our way to teach our children obedience? I'm more interested in using children behaving in certain ways because they understand what they are doing and why they are doing it. People with the capacity for blind obedience are both dangerous and, in danger, easy victims for those who would manipulate them. Yes, there are consequences, natural consequences, for every choice. But I want her to understand those too. But listen to this, guys. This is important right here. What about the child who is too young to understand? Certainly we would expect that child to obey. If the child is too young to understand, say, something as manifestly dangerous as running out into traffic, that child is also too young to be expected to consistently obey your commands, which have no obvious consequence attached to them, but rather the abstract idea of punishment, which they are also too young to understand. By the time that we finally taught them to understand punishment, they've long ago already understood the danger of running into traffic. It's not our role to insist on their obedience, but rather to protect them until they are able to protect themselves. As their parents, as an adult responsible for a child, that is our job. If children are too young to not know about running into traffic, then it's our job to keep them back from busy streets. We say, I can't let you do that. And then we follow up by not letting them do it. Continuing on, he writes, I do not want a child who obeys. I want a child who understands. And when she must, I want her to say, I will not obey. You see, we are biting off a big piece of chunk right here. We've always taught at the Family Podcast Network, we do not want to raise obedient children. I don't know if you ever guys ever get a chance. Go do a little bit of research into Hitler's youth and how they were taught to obey. And the level of immorality that they were willing, the unethical decisions that they were willing to bend and break and shatter and crush. It was truly phenomenal. I mean, regardless of what you think, if you believe the way I do in thinking that the entire premise behind Nazism and what it did to the Jewish people was absolutely horrible, you got to admit they were efficient in training their people to do what they told them regardless of whether or not they thought it was unethical. Obedient people are scary. Teacher Tom and I think, would get along just fine. I've tried to get him on the show before, but it almost seems if I seek out somebody to bring on the show, it rarely ever works, unless it's somebody like take the Libertarian Homeschooler. I begged her for like 6 months consistently to get her on the show and finally did it. But I tried to get Teacher Tom on the show, and he agreed to it and then never got back with me. And I'm sure he's busy. He's got stuff going on, and he's got a day life as well. So I'm sure that's what it is. But I want to get this guy on because I think he and I'd get along just fine. But he wrote about that up in the top up there. Obedient children are scary. And I agree with him. Kids that do exactly what we want them to do, when we want them to do it, no question, is not the sign of excellent parenting. It's the sign of tyrannical parenting. Perfectly done, in most cases. The goal of effective parenting is to not teach our kids to obey. Frequently, and I've told this to you guys a dozen times, if you've listened for any length of time, you've heard me say this at least once. But we get so many compliments when we go out in public with our kids. I've had old ladies behind me and old couples in front of me and other moms by themselves that'll just kind of come over there and just kind of nudge me real quick and just say, you have some amazingly obedient kids. And I look at them and I say, my kids are not obedient, trust me. And they look at me like I just slapped them in the face. And I say, listen, my kids do not obey. We've just taught them to be kind. We've taught them to be respectful. We've taught them to be thoughtful and mindful of other people. And frankly, that often gets confused for obedience. However, that is not their obedience. Well, then we'll try to understand what's the difference. You see, the idea that we talked about is something that Teacher Tom was hitting on in here. Obedience is something that is done for fear of a punishment. So if we know that we do something, I want you to imagine that you've got a job. And in one side of this, you come in and you do your job because you know that if you don't do your job, you're going to get fired. Right? If I don't come and perform my job tomorrow as the administrative assistant to the dean at a school of nursing in Abilene, Texas, if I don't go and do that job, then I don't get a paycheck, right? That is one piece of it. I know there's going to be a consequence in this case, albeit let's connect this to the idea of a punishment. There's a punishment in this case if I do not fulfill my job. Versus when I go tomorrow to serve as the administrative assistant to the dean at a school of nursing in Abilene, Texas, I am going to go and help kids graduate with their nursing license, and I'm going to help them walk out and be successful in life. So do you see the difference between those two? Both of them produce actions for me. Going so that way I don't lose my paycheck is going to create actions for me. I am going to obey because I want to get that thing that I don't want to lose or be punished for not doing the jobs, right? The other one is internally motivated. I understand that my job, when I wake up and go to this job, is about producing something for people to help them be successful. It's about going to do something that I am invested in. Maybe I love it, maybe I don't. But I understand what it is doing for others. One of them is done for fear of a punishment. The other one is done because we understand why we do it inside, deep in our hearts. Now, when it comes to obedience in children, which one of those two do you think resonates louder, deeper, longer, and more effectively with children? Typically, it's when we teach them to do the right thing. See, the problem with punishment is this. Punishment says, do this thing that I want you to do so long as you don't have to get the application of this uncomfortable, negative, or painful experience that I am going to apply to you for not doing it. Okay, that makes sense. If I sit there and stand behind my kids and every time that they whisper in church, I lean over and I thump their ears, they may eventually stop talking for fear of getting thumped by daddy. What happens when daddy leaves the room? Maybe he's fine once, maybe he's fine twice, but maybe three Sundays from then, I'm not in the room and the new friend is in church and they want to whisper. What happens when the application of the punishment is then removed? We then all of a sudden expect our kids to self-govern themselves when we have never allowed them to. We expect them to do something that I do believe is absolutely very innate. I think that our kids and ourselves as people and humans were designed to self-govern ourselves. We were designed to govern ourselves and make decisions for ourselves that are right, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody else or damage anybody else's property. We are supposed to govern ourselves. And yet we expect our kids to be able to do that when they've spent the first 18 years of their lives having to ask before they can leave a classroom to go to the bathroom. And then all of a sudden we expect them to walk in to be incredibly successful, self-regulated adults. And often they fail miserably. The goal of effective parenting is not to raise obedient children. The goal is to teach them to understand why they do this. Now, I'm about to tell you guys something that I've been doing right, but let me tell you how I've been screwing this up. Guys, I fight the obedience dragon all the time. I want my kids to obey me. I want them to do exactly what I want when I say when they want. My wife just got onto me hardcore tonight because she said, Trey, you have been a parenting bully today. And it smacked me in the face. And I had to sit down and think about it and go, merciful God, I have been. You see, I've raised kids. I've raised kids that don't obey. And nights like tonight, when I want them to do exactly what I want them to do, when I want them to do it, with no explanation as to why, I get so frustrated when they don't go straight to their bed or they don't stop getting out asking for water. I get so frustrated when they do all those little things when I just want them to lay down and go into a small child coma for a while until 8 o'clock tomorrow. I get so frustrated with them for that. Why is that? Why was I having a problem tonight in the Homestead Day Gibson? Because I desired to have kids that obeyed me. Luckily, I have a shrewd wife who got on to me today and made that comment that I have been a parenting bully today, and it caught my attention. I set this up to make sure that I'm not pitching myself out there as some kind of guy who's got this obedience thing all worked out with his kids, and he teaches his kids because I'm working on it. But man, guys, I tell you, I screw this crap up so much. So flipping much. One of the reasons that puts me in a position to sit behind this microphone and talk to you guys is how much I screw this crap up. And so, but I'll tell you, one of the things that we've been doing lately is normally what I used to do, a phrase in our household is anytime that I went somewhere, right as I was about to go, when I was going to go spend the night with somebody at somebody's friend's house, or the minute that I was going to walk out the door and go on a date with a girl, my dad would almost always say the very thing over and over. He would walk out and he would say, "You behave yourself." Or if we were going over to a friend's house, "You behave yourself, and you do what Mr. and Mrs. Blank says." And I started doing that because we have Meemaw is my wife's mom, and Meemaw is so fantastic about coming and grabbing the kids. And, you know, when we only had three, she would pick them all up and take them over to her house. Well, then we're up to like six kids now, literally, in our household. And I was really afraid that she wasn't going to come over anymore because I knew that with three, it was enough already. And I really thought we weren't going to see her come and pick them up. But what does she do? Now she comes and picks them up one by one. And once a week or once every 2 weeks, she comes and picks up a new kid and takes them home with her for the weekend. She's been so fantastic. And I always told them as they were getting in the car, I say, you guys behave yourself and y'all do what Meemaw asked y'all to do, okay? Y'all do what Aunt Becky asked you to do, okay? Yes, sir. I stopped saying that. Long before I saw this article, I stopped saying that. And when I put my kids in the car, I make eye contact with them. And I say, "You guys know what the right thing to do is, right? Yes, sir. You guys know what the wrong things to do are, right? Yes, sir. Do the right thing, guys." Because it got me to thinking, as much as I love Meemaw, and Meemaw loves them, and I have no doubts of that in my mind, I don't want them to obey Meemaw. Because what if Meemaw told them to do something that wasn't okay? Maybe she told them to do something that wasn't okay for us, but maybe it was okay for her household. What if she asked them to do that? What do I want them to do? I want them to do what they know in their hearts are the right thing. I don't want them to obey Daddy and what he said, but I want them to understand. So let's just say that the two of them got into a fight while they were at the house. And let's say Daddy says that we don't hit each other because we would never want somebody to hit us unless it's self-defense, right? So we teach them that mentality. We go over there, and Meemaw would never say this, but Meemaw said, "You know what, y'all slug it out. Y'all hit each other until somebody wins and the other person is right." What if she told them to do that? Once again, she would never do. But what if she did? What would I want them to do in that situation? I would want them to know, "Yeah, but Dad says don't do this. Why does he say to do that? Because I don't like getting hit. And I don't want to do things to other people if I don't like having it done to me." See, that's understanding. That's understanding what it is that we're doing and why it is that we are doing it. See, I love this topic. Obedience demands that you either doubt or ignore what you know is right. You see, that's how atrocities occur. Just like Teacher Tom said, that's how horrible things occur, is when people know what the right thing to do is, but they don't do it. Obedience is a dangerous, dangerous thing, and we are raising a group of kids that are very, very obedient, and it's time to stop. Like Utah Phillips said, "The new ruling party is holding the aces. The rest of the cards are all missing faces. I'm sorry, I can't know you today. What can one say? I will not obey." See, the concept behind this, the ruling party, which one is holding the aces today? You know, we think about this on a political perspective. We talk about Republicans and Democrats. So you have, for guys, you guys can't tell, I align myself underneath libertarian perspectives. However, I believe that we were designed, or if you just want to call it fate or whatever else, that we were supposed to be anarchistic perspectives. And like most people, that used to freak me out when I heard that, because what I saw was like lawlessness and violence. The reality is the concept of anarchy is not that there aren't rules. There are rules in anarchy. The purpose behind anarchy is to say that we don't need rulers to enforce them, that we can enforce the belief systems of what is right and wrong behind ourselves. And if we're having a problem with somebody who cannot adhere to that doctrine of life, limb, or liberty or property, if somebody can't adhere to that, then we stop them, because that's a self-defense move. But that whole concept behind it lies in that there's not any rulers. Still have rules. So I'm a professing believer in anarchism. I just don't think America is ready for it. You're ready for people that are ready to step up, to self-govern themselves, to tell themselves no, to not require a police department to police their actions, or to tell them to not drive above 70, or to not be unsafe on the road. I think too many people believe that they need police around to teach them to be obedient. So I don't think we're ready for anarchism, even though I think it's what we're designed for. We're not ready for it. But if you look at this opposing back and forth, the rest of the cards were all missing faces. I'm sorry, I can't know you today. This is a very simple concept, but it's very easy for us to dole out any kind of ideas, thoughts, take away freedom whenever we don't have a face to the names. What should we say against that? I will not obey. Give us your sons and give us your daughters. No one is safe or immune from the slaughter. How indifference makes them rage. I think that's exactly what obedience wants, is for us to give our kids away, to line them up and teach them how to be obedient, good people, to follow whatever it is that they're told. Because when you have somebody that does exactly what they're told, when you have somebody that will watch whatever TV shows they're told is the popular thing to watch, whatever news broadcasts are the most popular to listen to, You're not safe or immune from the slaughter. But what happens if we get to that point where we stop caring about what the rest of society tells us is important? What if we had kids that did not look at what everybody was told they were supposed to be interested in, whether it's kids being interested in clothes or iPods or iTouches or iPhones, whether it's keeping them from being disinterested in the Xbox or the latest new Tommy Hilfiger or whatever the crap clothes the kids are wearing nowadays? What if they became indifferent? They just didn't care. It makes them rage. Mind you, we're defining the them as the ubiquitous them. But what can one say? I will not obey. Perhaps to perish outside of the bunkers where our generals hide, I turn away and spit. What if it is better to move outside of our classrooms, to move away from everybody that's supposed to be is leading this nation, to move away from those things and get outside, to walk our own path? That doesn't mean that we do it as loners, guys. I think a lot of times people get this idea of anarchism and this idea of self-governance, meaning that we're an island of ourself. No, we can do these things together. There's an article out there. I'm not going to link it today because, you know, if you're not interested in this stuff, I'm not going to spend the time making links for stuff you guys aren't interested in. But if you really want to get a good listen, is go pull up YouTube and do a search for I Will Not Obey, Utah Williams Explains Anarchy. And go listen to that. But he talks about this concept that when we're in a position to where there's no governance, then what will happen is that we'll come together and we'll find people who believe like us, like-mindedly, and that we will band together and believe how we want to believe. That doesn't mean we won't not respect the people around us that believe differently, but that people of like-minded belief systems will clump together. There's kind of the fundamental belief. I think that's what our founding fathers are moving towards. Was getting to that perspective where these United States, mind you, we didn't change it to this United States as a corporation until much, much later. The original one were these lowercase United, uppercase states, individual sovereign states that all had their own belief systems that came together and were willing to come under one unifying principle. And that's what we're talking about here. That's not to say that this is like we should go and hide ourselves off and not connect with others. We absolutely should connect with others. But maybe, just maybe, this mentality that we must be led and that we have leaders that are so subpar, that are not getting it. Perhaps it's better to be outside and turn away and spit. What can I say? I will not obey. Give us the minds of your children to learn, the substance of books that we have not yet burned. But what can they read? The sky for rain. See, I think this is exactly what obedience produces. It's children that are open and ready to be accepting of whatever comes into them. That is not what I want for my child. I love that. The substance of books we have not yet burned. We burned all the books is what they're saying here. We've burned all the books we didn't want them to see, but we left all the ones that we do want them to see. Give us the minds of your children to learn. But what can one say? I will not obey. You know, as I'm thinking about these, I realize it's one of the reasons why, you know, I think I talked about this a while back, but my wife and I have always felt kind of lonely. And one of the reasons we felt lonely is we've gone against most of the mainstream lifestyle that's out there. My wife, way more intelligent than I am, easily could go and make as much money, if not more, very quickly. Amazing sense of duty. We decided to keep her as a stay-at-home mom at her behest. Very weird in this society. Now, it's coming back. It really is coming back. But we decided that we were going to do it. We have more than three kids, which is three is considered the high number in America, but we have six total. We decided to foster, which is kind of strange. We've decided that we are going to homeschool our kids. We decided that we not only were going to homeschool, we were going to do a specific sub-branch called unschool, which is kind of weird. We're very crunchy granola, live off the earth type people, which is kind of weird. We've just done so many very strange things. Sticking to what we feel is right. But there's an inherent loneliness to it. But see, I realize as I'm going through this, we chose a life of, listen, we see what we are pitched as mainstream, as the thing we're supposed to do. But we've made that statement, I will not obey. Soon all the tyrants will feel our impatience. We choose to create our own combinations. I was always willing to agree. What can one say? I will not obey. Listen to this. Think about this in regards to parenting. The essence of contract is agreement, not coercion or obedience. And agreement is sacred. That's what we're talking about today in parenting. How do we notch this little idea into our parenting? We can create contracts with our kids. But in a contract with our kid, we acknowledge in our house we don't hit people because we do not like to be hit. When we do not like to be hit, we do not choose to do that to other people. Can we agree on this? Yes, Daddy. It becomes agreement. There's no coercion. I don't have to threaten them with a paddle. They do it because they understand. Well, Trey, my kid's not old enough to understand. Then should they be held to that ability to obey? If they can't even begin to understand why they are not doing what they're doing, why they should not be doing what they're doing, if they can't understand that concept, should we expect them to obey? I would argue no. Up until that point, we should be protecting them from being in that situation, as Teacher Tom mentioned. Because agreement is sacred. What can one say? I will not obey. I'm going to read this next part. I wish that this was a libertary homeschool. Libertary homeschool. I wish this was a liberty podcast that we could talk a little bit about this one. But just stick in your pipe and smoke it. There are so few wars of people's liberation where the people have so seldom risen. Only the armed faction. Listen, the armed faction lies. They create the state through their action when the people rise. It is not they, but the state that dies. Final one, I sing this song for the prisoner's release. most of all now for the new state police. You see, the guns have changed hands again. What can one say? I will not obey. There's a promise that I can make to you about your kids. They are going to be stuck in the situation and opportunities where they are going to have the option to choose to do the wrong thing at the requirement of an authority figure. They're going to have the option to look somebody in the eyes and they're going to say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, I need you to do this, and it's not the right thing. There are going to be times that we are going to ask them to do the wrong thing. What can one say? I will not obey. You see, obedience is not a beautiful thing. Obedience is not something to praise ourselves for. Though we may be master manipulators and we can manipulate someone into obeying us, the reality is this. Obedient people scare the hell out of us. They do what they're told, when they're told, and they don't reconcile it against their belief systems about what is right and wrong. We often get a little confused when we say the words moral. What is a moral? A moral is just a belief about what is right and wrong. Now remember, we know what right and wrong is. In every single choice, we have typically been taught what right or wrong is. And we reconcile it against that belief system. But when we do that, it doesn't change the fact that we still have two choices. The choice to do the right or the wrong thing. The minute that we choose the right thing, it becomes a value. Because we valued it enough to put action behind a belief. It's one thing for me to say that we don't believe in yelling in our household. It's another thing entirely for me to make it a value, to honor that. You see where we're going with all of this? Obedience takes a look at the right versus wrong, and it neglects whether or not they make their choice based off of the right and wrong. It makes a choice based off of who's the authority and should I comply. So I want you today to begin raising kids that do not obey you. Instead of telling them to do it because I said so, instead of telling them to do it because you could whoop their booty, teach them why we do the things that we do. We teach them the mentality and the belief systems behind it. That means that in some cases, you're going to look at some of the belief systems you've had about right and wrong, and you're going to take a look at them and think, man, never mind, this is a dumb rule. There's no reason to have this. And make those changes. Raise your kids to think. So that way, when they're crossed with things that just aren't right, what does one say? I will not obey.
The new ruling party is holding the aces. The rest of the cards are all missing faces. I'm sorry I can't know you today. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us your sons and give us your daughters. No one is safe or immune from the slaughter. How indifference makes them rage. What can one say? I will not obey. National Guard or freedom fighters, all houses belong to cigarette lighters. But who hides in the smoke? What can one say? I will not obey. Better perhaps to perish outside of the bunkers where our generals hide. I turn away and spit. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us the minds of your children to learn the substance of books we have not yet burned. But can they read the sky for rain? What can one say? I will not obey. Soon all tyrants will feel our impatience. We choose to create our own combinations. I was always willing to agree. What can one say? I will not obey. The essence of contract is agreement. not coercion or obedience, and agreement is sacred. What can one say? I will not obey. There are so few wars of people's liberation, for the people have so seldom risen. Only the armed faction, listen, the armed faction lies. They recreate the state through their action. When the people rise, it is not they, but the state which dies. I sing this song for the prisoners' release, most of all now for the new state police. You see, the guns have changed hands. Again, what can one say? I will not obey.